Welcome to this keynote session with Ben Stevenson, somebody who...
I'm not Danny Cohen.
He's not Danny
Basically,
Cohen.
Basically, I'm the replacement.
Let's face it, he's dapper, he's approachable.
Oh, thanks.
He's improbably young for all of
the
power
I'm not anymore, but thanks.
I think actually, yes, he was a shock. He was a shock to the crustier end of the production sector when he got his job. What on earth is this whippersnapper going to
yes.
do? Well, we've seen over the past 7 years. Now,
six.
Ben once explained his job very, very, I thought, very sensibly in a way, very neatly. He said that it's me and the channel controller. Someone has to make those decisions. And what he means is that when it comes to picking or choosing or commissioning drama for the networks that he supplies, really, he has an awful lot of power. So we are in the presence of power.
Huge power.
Huge power.
Amazing. You can feel it emanating from me, I think.
Shortly. But I also want to just fill in very quickly his CV, because it's interesting and it shows his meteoric rise. Now, Ben was raised in Norwich. Now, your parents ran a bookshop.
They did, the Hungate Bookshop.
Was it at the university?
No.
It wasn't, no. And then he went to Manchester University, took their acclaimed drama course, where, of course, he got first. His entry into TV drama was a script editor on Yorkshire Television's Heartbeat and then London's Burning. Now, both of those have of course, been extinguished by ITV.
No coincidence.
He then moved on to Channel 4, where he was in the drama commissioning team at the same time as Mark Thompson was the chief executive, which must have helped. He then had a stint at making drama, and perhaps we should draw a slight veil over that, because he worked for Shed, the footballer's wife, Indy. And he did help make a drama which was called Bombshell for ITV. The only problem was it was never screened here. But nevertheless...
We all have failures, Maggie.
Indeed.
It's what makes us strong.
He understands. What
are your failures, Maggie?
Oh, I've got lots of failures.
Just got your CV.
I've got lots of failures. But New Zealand gave Bombshell a screening, so, you know, it couldn't have been that bad.
This was 12 years ago, so, yeah.
But then he joined the BBC, and he rose very fast as head of development for independent drama, and then... development fiction, and he became really the rising star under the previous regime of Jane Tranter, who of course was paired with Julie Gardner here, and who made a fantastic impact on BBC drama and BBC Drama Wales. Now, it's difficult, I think, if you're Ben, to take on quite an entrenched regime, and as I say, he's been in the role 7 years, and he's had lots of slings and arrows aimed at him, which he's clearly succeeded in quelling. I mean, there were many complaints. Do you remember?
Many.
Tony Garnett. Tony Garnett said
really
that you were running a totalitarian micromanagement scheme. And the BBC
Amazing.
Trust, as it always does, has waded in, usually quite at the wrong moment.
We just ignore all that, Maggie.
Oh, you ignore the BBC Trust?
Yeah, that's I do, yeah.
You do? Yeah. Especially the last criticisms.
Yeah,
yeah. BBC because One.
Because I just listened to the audiences.
Yeah. Actually, I did hear you at a Kay Mellor launch with in the club, where you said, almost rather defiantly, we make programmes that millions of people want to watch, and they don't also want to...
I'm not really interested in the opinion of people who don't really watch
right,
TV.
Right, so there we go. So, anyway, most recently... Ben was at a launch, it was in November, with Tony Hall, and he was announcing 40 new hours of drama. And he made quite an interesting declaration. He said, it's really interesting to look back at BBC drama, I think he means pre-Ben, and see how far it has moved on. It was very traditional. It was period drama, and the perception was only period drama. Well, they aren't the conversations we are having now. And he then went on to say that within the BBC drama palette, there was plenty that was modern, bold, cutting-edge drama. Drama with a swagger is what you actually said.
Did I?
You did, yes, which was really interesting. Now, just before I move to the to our conversation, one of the other key things that has distinguished Ben's era running drama commissioning for the BBC is that BBC Two was given an enhanced budget of an extra £10 million a year, and we're in the third year of that. And that has led to a real flowering of very well-reviewed and interesting programmes, starting with The Crimson Petal and The White, The Shadow Line, the first Hugo Blick drama, The Hour, starring Dominic West and Romola Garai, Line of Duty 1 and 2, and number 3 is coming back from Jed Mercurio, Top of the Lake, Honourable Woman, Marvellous. And, I mean, whether or not BBC Drama wanted it or not, we've also had The Hollow Crown, which I thought was one of the jewels.
Why didn't we want it?
Oh, I think there were complaints, weren't there, from Sam Mendes that you were all a bit cool about it.
No.
Not true. Not true.
No, it was my idea.
There have been flops. I mean, I'm thinking about Occupation, which was...
That wasn't a flop, Occupation.
Well, what was the one that went into space? I can't remember what it was. Wasn't that...
Oh, no, that was not. Occupation was the BAFTA award-winning drama about Iraq by Pete Alcock.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Black mark. What was the one about going into space?
Outcast. Yes.
Sorry, I've written down the wrong word. Golly, this is a bit naughty of me. I obviously wouldn't get into journalism school now. Call the Midwife and Last Tango in Halifax.
They're not flops.
I was saying those are standout things. I'm balancing.
I was going to say, fucking hell,
I was going to say... Gosh, this is going to be a bit of a stroppy hour, isn't it? I was going to say that it showed you had the confidence of Danny Cohen at that point, who was the controller of BBC One before he became director of BBC Television. So, we're here really to talk about Tony Hall's plans for production and the revolution that it may or may not bring about. We obviously touched on it already. And I was actually there when he outlined the proposals on... It was in July, on July the 10th, and it was at the, actually, City University Journalism School. So I get around. But they were quite fuzzy plans at that stage, and I still think they remain, well, let's say, fluid. But first, Ben, we've got to just get the scope of your job. I've tried a bit, but obviously I've made some mistakes. Now, what's your budget?
It's around £250 million.
A year?
A year.
And of that, how much is sort of... free to be...
About 100 million of those is probably the combination of the returners, so the Casualties, the Holbys, the EastEnders, and then everything else is variable.
Yeah. And the majority of that goes to BBC One?
Yes, a huge majority of it, yeah. BBC Two is around 30 million, so it's mainly BBC One.
And you were commissioning for BBC Four, and that's...
Yeah, BBC Four obviously not doing any drama now in order to save money and to try and make sure that BBC One and BBC Two are protected. And obviously BBC Three did have three series. It's now gone to one series. And obviously all the questions about whether BBC Three becomes an online service are still in the ether.
Well, I think that's why Danny isn't here today, isn't it? I think that's...
I don't know.
Discussed. I think so, yes. But
well, I should be having a word.
Can I just check on BBC Three? There will be one series, will there?
That's the plan at the moment, but that's the terrestrial version of it at the moment. Yes. I don't know what the plans are when, because obviously I haven't gone to the Trust yet.
And your job is also commissioning online. Does that mean that there might be micro dramas on...
We've done a little bit of that, which I didn't actually commission, which were these micro dramas that in-house did that were brilliant. My Jihad was one of them, fantastic piece, which is now becoming a little series online. Most of our online commissioning, because it's very, very small, the budget, is about extended experiences. So we do a lot around Doctor Who, a lot of innovative stuff around Doctor Who and EastEnders and the big shows, really. Yeah. But obviously, as we move forward, I'm sure there will be shift over time how that's all looked at.
And are you actually thinking that if that one drama series remains on BBC Three, would it have an outing on BBC One or
BBC One
or
BBC Two,
yeah. So it wouldn't just sort of...
It would have a narrative repeat, yeah.
Yes, I see. No, that's interesting. I mean, are you sad about BBC Three potentially closing?
I'm sad, but I think it's the right thing because something's got to give is the truth. And I think that the big, you know, part of the speech that you alluded to was a defence of the licence fee and us trying to begin the rallying process, because I do feel scared to be honest, about the license fee. I do think the license fee is an extraordinary thing. I did my speech off the back of being in LA for a week, a place that I love, and I love the work and I love the people, but it's a different culture. And I think what's really interesting, having perspective, is you just see what amazing strength for all the problems. And of course, there are problems with any big corporation that spends a lot of money, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't sort them out. But the extraordinary freedom that it gives creative people inside and outside the BBC, and therefore the extraordinary range of drama in my genre that it offers audiences is just second to none. And our desire to protect that is important. But if we continue as we go, things have to give. We have to have conversations about what do we do and what don't we do.
And you are the main beneficiary of that closure. You get 30 extra million
I personally get £30 million,
so your
which
budget
the
goes
Sun
up
are going
to
love.
£258 million, does it?
Well, there's money comes in and money goes out. So it's all, it's not quite like that, but essentially it's flat funding, yeah.
So, but that is the main impact of the closure of BBC Three in terms of budgets. You get a bit more money to spend.
In terms of, I don't know how it works out with everyone else because I'm only interested in my own genre, obviously. No, I'm not.
And do you support the ending of the BBC's in-house production quota of 50%?
I have to say I do. I mean, I think you're right that it is very much a fluid process in that it's only just begun. It only began 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And inevitably, the process of setting up a big business, which is, you know, what we're all in, a big creative business, is a long-term, complicated, detailed number of conversations. And I think the reason they announced it was just as the reason they announced BBC Three, because we know that once conversations start, we have to be quite public about those, and then they come out, and then it will leak. So like BBC Three, it was announced early, but there is a huge amount of work to do, and I don't think that's a problem. I just think that that's the reality of where we are. I think that the, you know, the basic issue is, the facts are that the way we've been going is 50% guarantee for in-house, 25% for indies, and then this terrible thing called the WOC, which I was at
the window of creativity.
Yes, which I was at the BBC for 2 years before I dared ask anyone what it meant. I was very confused. But anyway, I know now, obviously, which is for anyone indie or in-house. And I think the issue is that because the non-qualifying indies, i.e. the indies that essentially belong to a broadcaster, so that might be ITV or now the whole Endemol Shine merger, because they don't go into the indie quota, they go into the WOC quota. That WOC quota, post all the mergers that are happening, will be full. So essentially what it means is that you've got the BBC Productions only being able to deliver 50%. I mean, it's still a huge amount, but there is no room for growth. 50%, that's it. And crucially for indies, 25%, indies who aren't part of a bigger corporation, 25%, and that's it. And that's the impact of what has happened in the market with the indies. Now, a lot of that is huge because of a huge amount of success. The indies are becoming very successful in this country. I think it's a really good thing. I think people recognising British spirit of creativity is a fantastic thing. But it has meant that, you know, people above me have had to look at how the system works and gone, actually, you know what, this system doesn't work for how we are built going into the future. So, in a way, those are the facts. Now, of course, there are many different conversations you could have. You could have a smaller quota for in-house. You could have a 20% quota for in-house. But I guess you then go, do we really want to be a place that can only make that amount?
But why is drama so much hitting the ceiling and other genres aren't?
I was talking about all genres.
You're talking about all genres. And it's by value.
I wasn't talking about drama, though. That is...
Yeah. That's this is by hours, though, isn't it? It's not by value. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Claire Hudson is nodding. Yes.
Yes,
it is by hours. So this wasn't that wasn't drama specific. That is the BBC in general. So that's not drama. That is.
And
all
do we
genres.
Know exactly what is going into this new co or whatever we
No,
call
as
it,
I say,
company.
The conversation is those are the facts. They are unarguable. That is what the situation is. I'm sure you've written about all of the mergers going on. That means that the market for indies at the BBC becomes smaller than it's been because there isn't enough slots for them, and in-house becomes stuck at 50%. So those are the facts. They are unarguable. Now, you can argue lots of different ways of doing it. The BBC has decided, and I have to say I think it's absolutely right, that the only way of really liberating that is by losing those guarantees on both sides
And the bonus for in-house is that they can take all their extraordinary talent, much of which we see here in Roadblock, and extend it to not just BBC channels, but other British channels as well as international channels.
Is it a way of driving down prices, though? Because when I listened to Tony Hall on the 10th of July, I mean, I quote, he says, "It will bring the spirit of the entrepreneur and pioneer to the BBC, and then great programmes at great prices." And the implication was that perhaps the current terms of trade by which everybody kind of thinks they operate on, that they may well disappear too. And it was noticeable that Gene Seaton, the official historian of the BBC, was quite thought maybe that the gusto with which the independent sector treated this news might be misplaced further down the line.
Again, all I can go, Maggie, is just say the facts, which is that. So you have to... I don't know what other argument there is. Those are the facts. Mm-hmm. That is where we are. I don't think anyone in this room, I shouldn't think you, feel that it's acceptable for in-house and for indies to be locked at 50% and 25%. So those are the facts. Someone had to react. I don't believe there's... well, I know there isn't an ulterior motive beyond this is the state of British independent producing. That is having an impact on the way that the BBC has been governed. Therefore, we need to shift that. I don't believe anyone has sat at the BBC and said, I know, let's, you know, drive down prices by doing this. I think it is genuinely about, if we believe that in-house should thrive, and we do, clearly we can't get locked into something where there is no room for growth, because at the moment they do make 50%. In some genres they make slightly under that, in some places they make slightly over that, some places quite a lot over that. I don't think it's a particularly creative environment for anyone to go, well, there's that, all you can do is just sustain that, you can never grow it, literally you can never grow it, and you can never work for anyone else. If I was in-house, I'd think, well, why would I stay there? I can't grow. There may be some pieces, literally I can't get commissioned because there are no slots available to me. So it just feels, I think it would drive people away.
So the fact that they can actually win business outside, do you think they will win business outside?
Yeah, I mean, I've got absolutely no doubt. When you look at what, you know, what Claire Hudson and Faith and Julie and Piers and everyone have done in Roadblock, I think there is absolutely no doubt that the expertise with which that team have delivered every year 13 hours of Doctor Who, which is on the international stage, which is a huge success in America, as well as smaller, more handcrafted pieces like Poet in New York, I've got absolutely no doubt that those people aren't the best in the business. And ultimately, my philosophy towards the business is fuck business, it's about creativity. And if you are brilliantly creative, you will deliver fantastic programmes that will sell. If you set out to sell programmes, you'll be a disaster. But if you set out to make brilliant programmes...
But on the other hand, we're talking about maybe 2,500 jobs, staff jobs at the BBC, and we're also talking about £400 million of programming. And it was noticeable, I don't know if people have caught up with this, but on Monday, Peter Salmon, who's the director of BBC North, made some quite... cautious remarks at a Broadcasting Press Guild breakfast in London, and he was pointing out that this could, if it is implemented in an uncaring way, undermine the industrial strategy really behind the current moves in the BBC to ensure that there is production sourced out to the nations, as we see here, also to the north of England. And of course there's also the training obligation which the BBC has and has shouldered really for the whole industry. So there are quite real fears about what might happen to a more almost socio-economic
and
fears.
None felt more so than all the people deciding. And obviously, you know, I don't know if caution is the right word, but care and concern, I think, are the right words.
But would you be worried if all of BBC drama, for example, was simply outsourced and that independent producers made all of it?
Well, it won't be, though.
Well, we've already seen...
I mean, I've got confidence...
Jane Turton,
huge confidence
Jane
in my
Jane Turton at
all
three
team,
media
so.
Said when, for example, will, say, a big continuous drama like, say, EastEnders be put out?
Well, I don't understand that, I'm afraid, because I'm not
right.
going to rip away 30 years of experience to give it to people who haven't made the show. It's bonkers to me, that. So, yeah, here's EastEnders. It's been part of this community for 30 years. You're not going to make it anymore? That is nonsense. I would never do that. It's not creative sense at
all.
No,
she didn't mean not make any more. You mean...
No, but there's no point.
Somebody else can make it.
But you can't do that. That's not how creativity doesn't work.
She's talking about, I mean, if you take Tony Hall's words, compete and compare, then, you know, you could certainly compete.
Well, you can read anything into any words, but this is what's going...
That is not the intention.
But this is not what is going to happen. We are not going to be outsourcing shows that are made by people throughout history and give them to independents.
So Casualty's safe?
Totally. Absolutely. It is not going to happen. It is not how creativity works. You do not take a project away and give it to someone else. It would be like saying, oh, here's a project by this writer. Oh, we're a bit bored of you. We'll give it to that writer. It just doesn't work like that. EastEnders, Holby, Casualty, those are the big shows, and Doctor Who, they have come through the guts of in-house production over years and years and years, and it's in the DNA of there, and I would not let them go anywhere else. Just as I wouldn't take, you know, Last Tango in Halifax and give it to... and say to Nicola Schindler, actually, do you know what, Nicola? I know you've developed it and you've really got a great relationship with Sally, but nah, let's give someone else a chance.
But Peter Salmon's point was that it felt that in-house production had been rather beaten up in recent years. And I suppose I could turn the question around to you and say, well, why do independents seem to do so very well, especially in the drama area?
I think that in-house make 50% of the drama. That means they're the biggest drama producer in the country. In fact, they're bigger than probably the five top indies put together.
Yes, but the kind of exciting new projects seem to...
I don't know. Doctor Who, cover of Entertainment Weekly, the only British show ever to be on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Luther, just come back, made a huge impact, just been sold to Fox for a huge amount of money and a huge amount of acclaim. One Child about to come out that is set in China and is premiering on Sundance. But also, let's not... forget that EastEnders, Casualty and Holby hold the schedule together and deliver drama for audiences that don't watch the rest of drama. So I just don't I don't see it. I think that indies make amazing drama, don't get me wrong, they absolutely do. But I think, you know, a defining drama for an indie can be enough, whereas what I find sometimes frustrating about the perception of in-house is if they get one amazing drama, it's like, well, they're a massive failure, aren't they? So Doctor Who, one of the most successful British programmes in the world. Well, come on, do better than that.
What's your relationship, though, with BBC Wales? I mean, do you actually...
Terrible. Awful. Beth and Jones are sitting there, and we haven't spoken in years.
But you don't have... Do you have a direct relationship?
Yep, so Faith and me, I was on the train with her yesterday. We meet every week, we speak probably every day. And Bethan comes into those meetings, and Brian, who runs Doctor Who. And I mean, my whole philosophy is that you hire the best people and you let them get on with their jobs and you do what you can do, what they can't do because of the position you're in, not because of you're better than them. And essentially, you enable people to do the very, very best job, to take risks, to have failures. I think that's really important. And to deliver great work. And I don't go, I don't think of Wales or Scotland or England or London as a nation. I think of them as a great producing arm. Now, obviously, as part of all of that, you want representation and you want great drama and you want specificity. But at the same time, I also believe that Wales's massive success has come from believing that we are as good as London. Maybe we're better. Who cares? And having that sort of chutzpah, and that's what I really believe in.
But for BBC Wales, drama is probably 60 million or so. So it's a very big deal.
It's huge.
Deal for
They've
them.
Done an amazing job.
One of the worries must be, you mentioned the great brands they've got. Do they have replacement things coming through? And also, there's now this quite obvious push for maybe commissions that reflect the life and the culture of Wales, or the reality of Wales, but actually seeing them on the network, and that doesn't seem to be coming through. Now, are you aware of this problem?
What is the problem?
Well, the problem of Wales not really being represented.
Oh, representation. I mean, I think representation is a massive part of what everywhere needs to do. And I know that, you know, you look at Poet in New York, a brilliant piece, just been nominated for a broadcast award. And, you know, I think that what I really believe a creative organisation has to do, and, you know, BBC Wales Drama is a creative organisation, is they have to be the best home for the best talent to do their best work. What you can't do is say, we want to be the best home for the best talent to do their best work as long as it's set in Wales and about Wales. Because then, you, quite frankly, you won't have Stephen Moffat writing Doctor Who, you won't have Stephen Moffat coming and bringing you Sherlock. So that would be mad because you wouldn't grow your business. So I believe that that ability to attract the best creative people to come to Wales and to make great shows is the primary objective. However, at the same time, I do think that what makes the BBC incredibly rich and incredibly engaged with its audience is that it can pick up all corners, all dimensions of life, which is everything from the range of drama that we make from singles through to series, the range of tones, and crucially, where it's set. And yes, there isn't a huge amount of Welsh-set drama, but we intend there to be. And I think if you look at
so how
pieces,
do you get it? How do you get it?
You say it, and you develop it, and you take time, and you don't commission stuff because it's representational, just because it's representational. You wait for it to be the best of the best. And I think when you look at some of the stuff that's representational at the moment, I mean, anything is represented.
You mean The Fall, for example?
You look at The Fall in Belfast, or you look at Happy Valley in Hebden Bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the best programmes on British television. In fact, they're some of the best programmes in the world, I believe. And that's the bar, and that's a great bar. And, you know, I haven't yet found that piece this year in Wales, but I will do. But at the same time, I don't see it as a problem. I just see it as a creative opportunity, and I really look forward to doing that. And there are great projects in development. But at the same time, I do think that we should say, yep, we want to achieve that. That's a real ambition. Of course we will do it. Let's make it the best shows on telly. But at the same time, we can't just go, and therefore we mustn't be making just great drama, whatever it is. Because, as I say, it would be an incredibly closed shop. And we wouldn't be making half the shows that have actually created such an extraordinary business.
Have you watched Hinterland?
I have watched Hinterland. Yes. It's
what
very good. Very broadcast nominated.
Yes. So, I mean, the potential is, I mean, you say attracting people in. There clearly is potential in Wales.
Of course.
Natural talent here.
Absolutely. Well, a huge amount of the talent who make all these shows are Welsh, and obviously, but also just because you're Welsh or Scottish doesn't mean you necessarily just want to write. I mean, Stephen Moffat is Scottish. He writes about aliens. So, you know, just because you are, no offence, just because you are from somewhere doesn't mean that is what you write about either. So, you know, Welsh talent goes across everything we make in Wales. It's extraordinary. But yeah, absolutely, we want to be massively representational. Obviously, Hinterland wasn't BBC4, it wasn't my commission, it was an acquisitions. But
how do you make decisions about what to pick?
Some of it's really fundamental. Like, is it a brilliant script? Obviously. But in a way, that's the most sort of pathetic thing I can possibly say.
You have a number of people working.
I have a very small number, actually. I have a smaller number than any other broadcaster.
How many?
In terms of the team in London, there's four of us. Yeah, and obviously, we make 450 hours, so it's quite small. So it's about how brilliant is the script. My questions are, is it an idea that makes an audience member want to lean forward? And because ultimately, they've got to come to the telly and decide to turn it on.
Yeah.
So that, does it feel original in its own way? Does it feel like the script is the most imaginative, boldest iteration of that idea? Is the script brilliant? And are the team passionate about it? Do they have a real vision about it? And would they lay down in front of a moving blah de blah truck
to make it?
And those are the things. If all of those fit into place, you will get a good show. You may not get a show that people watch. It may not be a show that critics like, but you'll get a show with huge integrity. And therefore, even if it fails, it doesn't matter because you've commissioned a show that works and is good and is passionate, but ultimately it may not work, which is fine.
But does the fact that BBC 4 and 3 aren't there anymore in any number, make that a slightly narrower.
I don't think so. I mean, I think in truth, we're actually, those two channels were narrower than BBC One and BBC Two.
Okay, so.
They were brilliant, and you know what we've done with Dominic Mitchell on BBC Three Within the Flesh is an extraordinary story. Mm-hmm. He's now off to LA because we always lose, and they'll be back.
Yeah.
but no, I think the range of what we do on One and Two is extraordinary.
Okay, so you've demonstrated you lie down in front of a bulldozer.
Well, I don't, obviously. But you get commissioned.
So when are you recommissioned? What are the criteria for being?
It's complicated.
Recommissioned. Is it ratings?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, Luther Series 1 got 3 million, terrible reviews. I believed in it. I believed in Neil. I believed in Idris. I recommissioned it because I believed the first show was really good, but there was something in it that we could take and be bigger. So we recommissioned it based on creative instinct. And we were right to do that because it went on to become the sort of juggernaut and phenomenon that it is.
Yeah.
There are other pieces where you go, it's a really good first series, it has delivered really well, it's not a breakout, everyone talking about it hit in the way that The Missing is at the moment. I wonder what it's raising for last night. Or Happy Valley. And therefore, you know, if you don't believe it can grow, you've got to ask yourself, should we do another series or should we open up the slot for another show? So The Hour, for example, massive passion of mine, we commissioned a second series. We didn't commission a third series, and because we didn't commission a third series, we commissioned Peaky. Really hard conversation at the time, really hard decision. I wish we could have done a third series, but without a third series, we wouldn't have commissioned Peaky.
Yes, I wish you could have done a third series.
But we wouldn't have had Peaky, Maggie.
Yes, that's true, and we I agree you have. So it's partly ratings, partly...
Partly rating, it's partly what the show does in the schedule.
Because Peaky Blinders was hitting male viewers too, which was handy.
Well, a tiny bit.
A tiny bit more than usual.
It had
a tiny representation of Birmingham in it. Which
it actually did incredibly well in Birmingham. It got a massive show in Birmingham.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So all of those things. But say cancellation of this year Crimson Field.
Yeah.
A BBC in-house production.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm not going to treat in-house differently to anyone else, but...
Established writer, Sarah Phelps.
Yeah. What's your point?
No, I mean, was that the hard decision?
Yeah, it was a really hard decision, but...
World War One, you know, I imagined it was going to run through... Well, I mean, I don't know.
The war.
The war, yes, I suppose.
it was a good show. I love Sarah. She's working on a lot for us at the moment. I felt that in a world where there is a lot of period drama, there were other shows to do. And I believe I was right to do that.
And in terms of budgets, you're talking about the 250 million, going to go up to 280 million.
It's not going to go up to 280 million.
Oh, I thought you were going to have all of that 30
But
million.
The money comes and goes in different ways, so it's essentially flat funding.
Do you still fully fund dramas, or are you always now...
I mean, nothing has been fully funded for about 15 years because of the DVD market. So, you know, producers are always going to want to go and get more money. Some shows require massive budgets, in which case we'll, you know, co-produce with the right partner. It's really important having the right partner. But there are some shows that still remain very... domestically bound. You look at, you know, In the Club or Happy Valley, they are very British based and don't require a huge budget to be amazing.
And is the role of BBC Worldwide in terms of augmenting budgets and indeed BBC America and now a wider range of US co-producers beyond Masterpiece, are they changing the nature, perhaps, of
no.
What's
really interesting over the last few years is that, you know, 3 years ago the conversation was all about international drama where you had to put sort of English, Russian, American all in and they're all like together and it all just, and no one really cares and it looks like what it is, which is a bit of a cynical exercise. And now we are getting more, I said this in my speech, we're getting more, you know, extraordinary co-production deals with international partners where we don't have to make a single sacrifice to what we believe in. Because I think that America makes drama, we make great drama, they want a bit of what we've got, we want a bit of what they've got, and actually the relationships are just burgeoning. So you look at a piece like The Night Manager, which we've just done a deal with AMC, we are totally unified and it won't change the piece.
So it's almost, you're saying the best of all worlds?
It's an amazing time to be working in drama. You say I'm young, but I have been working in drama for over 15 years.
37,
38? I'm nearly 38. but I have been working for 15 years because I was geeky and knew what I wanted to do in Earth University. Yeah. But
so it's a golden. I think it is.
Here in America, and I think it's an extraordinary.
Well, that's something I'm sure we can pick up with questions.
I think it's an amazing time to make drama.
I think everybody feels that, and that's despite the fact, looking at it domestically, you could see maybe a great deal more competition for British talent. I'm not talking about American competition. I mean, ITV has clearly
competition is good because it forces you to be better, and it forces you to be the best place for people to work. Because that's why people ultimately... Because we're never going to pay the biggest budgets or give the biggest money or pay people more than anywhere. Or we're just never going to do that, despite what the Sun might say. We're just never going to do that. So we've got to be the best place to work. And I honestly believe, if you look at our output, you know, of course I want to be more ambitious. There's more I want to do. I'm my own harshest critic. But I do believe that we are delivering... Well, the people who work... with me, the producers, the writers, are work delivering amazing drama.
Do you think that there's going to be a more longer form drama? I mean, the 12-part.
No, you see, I think, again, what's really interesting about this is that actually, you know, America does it brilliantly. We do what we do brilliantly. Why do we? I just don't worry about it. I think that, you know, why should we try and copy America? Why should America try and copy us? I think it's really interesting that AMC are doing Night Manager at 6 episodes. It's not returnable, but it's brilliant. And I think, you know, on my trip to LA a couple of weeks ago, what everyone is saying is that all that matters is quality. And be it a single film like The Normal Heart that, you know, HBO made, or a 3-part drama, or a 24-part drama, yeah. Quality is what matter, and we're never going to compete with them for 24 episodes because our business model is completely different. We don't deficit fund. We don't have the money to deficit fund. But what we can do is make what we've done for 50, 60, 70 years, which is produce beautifully crafted, often single-authored drama from single films up to 10 episodes and do it brilliantly rather than try to do what America does exceptionally well, less well. I just think that would be pointless. And also, from my point of view, I could commission 24 parts, but what shows don't I commission? Yeah. And suddenly I'm making, you know, 24 parts with one indie. Well, that's 3 indies without a job. And that's 3 writers without their shows commissioned. So I would much rather make Peaky, The Fool, and the upcoming Jimmy McGovern show, Banished, than just make one of those over, you know, 15 episodes. I just don't believe that would deliver the British audience what the British audience is demanding, which is... diversity, range, blah, blah.
Well, thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
I think we're at the end of our very interesting conversation. Thank you for that.